Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Erech and Daf Tes Zayin. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's Shiur begins at the very top of Daf Tes Zayin. We encounter a marking, a geometric form at the top of the page, a diamond with a colored-in tip. This is the second statement opening up with the same words of Kol Milsa. We are in the middle of rules concerning what constitutes Lashon Hara. As we mentioned in our previous shiur, we elaborated on our disclaimer, how we are not to conclude any halacha lemaisa from our Gemara markings shiurim in general, and specifically with regard to these areas of halacha concerning Lashon Hara. The practical halachas of Lashon Hara are very detailed, and in order to come to any halachic conclusion, one has to study the works of the Chofetz Chaim, especially the Sfarim entitled Shmiras Haloshin and the Chofetz and the Sefer called Chofetz Chaim. We mentioned that as far as the Gemara is concerned, we get the rudiments, the basic sources for these halachas, and that in and of itself is of great value. Now, as we go on in the Gemara, we continue from the top. And on the outside margin, you will notice a no-say heading, which we will allude to very shortly. But at the top line, Omar Rabo bar Rav Huna, Kol Milsa demis Amro ba'apet losa, that which is said in front of three. And Rashi says, if the subject said whatever he said in front of three, if I then reveal that information somewhere else after the subject of the information himself said whatever it is in front of three, then I am not guilty of Lashon Hara. I am not revealing something that the subject himself has not already revealed. That's what is meant here, that kol milso dem misamro ba'api t'losa, anything that was said by the original subject in front of three, less bo mishum lishno bisha. We can look at Rashi at the top, dem misamro ba'api t'losa shabaylim amrua bifnei shlosha, where the original owner or subject of the information said whatever concerns him in front of three. Hamigala oisa eino loshon hora. One who reveals it later is not guilty of Lashon Hara. Sheze gilo tchila daito. He, by saying his information, his story in front of three, has revealed to us she'im megala oiso, if someone else were to say it later, eino choshesh. He is not upset, not worried. Demeida yoda, he knows by having himself spoken it in front of three. The seifulis lehigolos, it will be revealed. The chavroch chavro islay. This is based on the idea that your friend has himself a friend. And vizeh megala lechavero, vizeh lechavero ad shivoda. The social chain reaction, if you will, is set in motion by the initial report in front of three. And that's what the Gemara goes on to say. My taima, why is it, the Gemara at the end of the second line from the top, why is it that this is ein bo, it doesn't constitute Lashon Hara? Because chavroch, your friend, chavro islay, he has a friend, v'chavro, d'chavro, chavro islay, and your friend's friend has a friend. And what this line, in effect, is illustrating is this concept of a social chain reaction. But it's set in motion by the fact that the original information was said or revealed in front of three people. Ki also Rav Dimi Omar. When Rav Dimi came, he reported, my dichtiv. Before we go on, let's just note the title heading that we've assigned to this Gemara. On the outside margin, the nosei, the topic. Ein lesapir lacherim al iruach meshubach befarhesya. One should not, in a public fashion, reveal or praise someone who served you as a good host. In other words, if someone hosted you in a nice way, don't reveal that to the public. On the surface, that would sound a bit odd. If someone treats you nicely, wouldn't you think it's only right to let as many people know about his kindliness in public? So here we'll have an illustration of the depths of Talmudic consideration that it goes beyond superficial human conclusions. So the Rav Dimi tells us, "My dichtiv mivorech re'ehu b'kol gadol ba'boker hashkem klolo techoshev lo." The pasuk says that one who blesses his friend in a loud fashion, the next morning it'll be a curse unto him. Kigon, the mikla lushpiza, a man, mikla arrived at an inn, a host where he was hosted. That's an ushpiza. The torchu kamei shapir, and they troubled themselves in a very positive way to serve the guest. Lamochar Nofik Yosef Bashuka. Next day, this guest who was hosted so nicely goes out and sits in the public, the Omar, and then says, Rachmona Nivorche Leplanya Dahochi Torach Kamoi. The Almighty should bless so and so who treated me so well. The Shamin Inshi. People hear this. The Azlin Veansin Lei. And then when the public hears that so and so is such a good host, So people then hear it, and there are people in the public that aren't so wonderful. They're going to go and take advantage of someone who was already described as a proper host. Rashi says on the second narrow line, "Vishamin inshi alomi." Alomi are tough characters, are unpleasant, difficult individuals. So these people will hear, Shu Ashir, that so-and-so is a man of means, the host. The Asli, the Ansile Mamone, they'll go take advantage of his holdings. Lishna Achrina, another version of what the problem is Ansile She Misachsinim Etzlo Orchin Achimichalin Mamono. Not so much a function of bad people as the first version of Rashi, but numerous people will come, and the flow of constant guests will then wipe out the host from his holdings. The Gemara continues, Toni Rav Dimi Achvod Rav Safra. Now, you'll notice that we have a couple markings over here. First, you might notice there's a Roman numeral number 1 to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, followed a few lines later by a number 2. You'll notice on the line of the number 2, a squiggle on Ikot Yamri, a second version. So we're going to have now a comment or a teaching of Rav Dimi, the brother of Rav Safra, and the name is underlined twice with a double underline with a design between them to highlight the two versions. So the first version has Rav Dimi reporting a Tanaic source that reads, "Le'olam al yisapir odom b'toivosa shechaveroi." A person should not speak the praise of his friend. Shemitoch toivosa ba lidei ra'oso. Now Rashi adds a word here when it says that one should not say the praise of somebody, shouldn't overdo it. That's a key word that Rashi says, yoser midai. And Rashi explains there with two explanations in the Rashi itself. Rashi says, Bali de Rosso. We're looking at Rashi together on the upper part of the narrow lines of the Rashi commentary. It will come by speaking praises of his friend, you'll come to evil. To the evils. What is that? Shekshu misabri v'toivoso yoysir midai. When a person overdoes the praise of someone, who atzmo omer, it leads a person to say, well, chutz mimido rozu sheboy. That this is human nature, that when you say, oh, this guy is such a great this and that, however, and then after that however follows something negative. So as far as the balance is concerned, you lose more than you gain because you are adding the negative. Better not to say anything. Better not to overdo the praise than overdo it and come to saying the negative. Oy, achirim shoymen shezem eshabcho, Rashi goes on, or when you go overboard with the praise, others hear you and then they speak of the omrim, oh halo midas kach v'kach biyado, well, he might be that great, but doesn't he? And then the but with a negative that follows. So either the speaker himself or the listeners will come to mention something negative on the heels of all the positive praise that was said. Iko di Amri, another version of this same teaching, is Rav Dimi Achvo Rav Safra Cholash. According to this version, there's a story attached to the to this point. Rav Dimi became ill. Earl Rav Safra Lishulebe. Earl is a verb meaning he came. Rav Safra came Lishulebe to ask of him, but to visit him. Omar le Tesi li de Kaimi called Omar Abonan. So Rav Dimi says that I wanted to be known that I fulfilled everything the Rabbonan ever taught. Omar le ha mi kaimis. How? So he asked, Rav Safra asked him, did you fulfill le'oilom ha'yisaper adam b'toivoso shechavero shemitoch toivoso bali de genuso? Were you careful with this too, of not singing someone's praises, overdoing that, because through that one comes to speaking about someone's negative? Omar lehu, so Rav Dimi said, lo shmi'a li. I didn't hear that teaching. And had I been aware of that, I would have fulfilled that as well. Before we begin the sugya, the new Gemara, the topic heading and structural note that we see in the outside margin draws our attention. We see a mivneh with a crown featured. This crown is Dvarim HaMechaprim Al Averos Shonos. So as we look on this Omid, as we look down the Omid, we see a few of these crown shapes. The first word highlighted by the crown are Negoyim. Negoyim is a type of skin affliction, a discoloration. And sometimes the skin affliction, or we should say discoloration, affects clothing. Sometimes it affects one's house. There are three different parshios of Negoyim in the Torah. So we have body affliction, clothing affliction, and house affliction. All of those coming under the heading of Negoyim. Later on the page, the Gemara will ask on the information presented under the heading of Negoyim, where the Gemara says that, and this is our immediate topic heading, that Negoyim serves as an atonement for seven offenses. The Gemara later will ask, but is it not so that Bigdei Kahuna are Mechaper? And that's the next crown shape that you see, that the clothing of the Kohen Gadol serve as a means of atonement. That through the wearing, through the Kohen Gadol's wearing of his eight special garments, the public achieves atonement. And there, the question, according to Rashi, will be focused on the issue of what actually atones for Lashon Hara. In fact, in the course of the Gemara, we'll see there are more points that overlap and hence raise a question, additional questions as well. But for the time being, the Gemara, after making this point that set that Negoyim atone for seven things, the Gemara asks, well, isn't it so that the Big Day Kahuna offer the atonement? And the Gemara will then resolve the difficulty. And further down on the Omid, on the first of the widest lines, we see two more crown shapes where the Gemara introduces Eglo Arufo and Kteres. The Gemara will be raising an additional question at that point, showing us that, in fact, Eglo Arufo and Kteres serve as the atonement for these things, some of the things that we have mentioned, and not Big Day Kahuna. So let us now turn to the Gemara, realizing that the first subject of discussion concerns Negoyim, and what Negoyim is also known as Saras, what it atones for. The Gemara, Omer of Shmuel bar Nachmeni, Omer of Yochanan, Al Shiva Dvorim Negoyim Boyin, and just take note of the fact that we're about to start a long point. That's indicated by the Nun that you see encircled to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text with a vertical descending dashed line. So the Gemara says in this long point that concerning seven things, Tzoras comes. It comes and is an atonement for it. Al Loshen Hara, and we should also point out that we're first going to read a list, and then the Gemara will elaborate how you see a connection between this list of offenses and Negoyim. So the list includes Loshen Hara, the Al Shichus Domin, which is murder, the Al Shvuas Shov, because of false oaths comes Negoyim, the Al Gilui Arayos, immorality, the Al Gasus Ruach, haughtiness, the Al Hagezel, theft, the Al Tsorus Ha'ayin. Tsorus Ha'ayin is miserliness. Al Loshen Hora, Dichtiv, Melashne Vesei Sireu, Oisei Atzmis. Now, this Posuk we discussed on Daf Tes Vov Amid Beis, and you see we have an arrow pointing to Daf Tes Vov Amid Beis on the right-hand side of the Gemara text. If you look back to Tes Vov Amid Beis, you should notice a parallel arrow indicating Tes Zayin Amid Aleph, where this was featured. The Pasuk Melashne B'Seser has to do with speaking ill in private. That's the reference to Loshen Hara. The word Atzmis, as we learned in our on the previous daf, is associated with Negoyim. Al Shvichus Domim, the Gemara continues, Dichtiv, the Al Yikores Mibes Yoyov, Zov Umetzora. The issue concerning that pasuk was an issue concerning murder, and it mentions Tzoras coming to, in a sense, because Yoav, who was a general in David HaMelech's army, because Yoav had killed Avner, so his fate will include Tzoras, as the pasuk says, Mitzora. The Al Shvuas Shav, regarding false oaths, Dichtiv, Vayomer Naamon. Naamon was an army general from the nation that bordered and at times warred with Israel. This Naamon was saved or healed by through the efforts of the prophet Elisha, and Elisha had was offered gifts by Naamon, who in turn refused receiving the gifts, but his right-hand man, his secretary, if you will, who was referred to in the Tanakh as Gehazi, went to get some of these goodies that his master Elisha had refused. So in this pasuk, Gehazi approaches Naamon, and Naamon, the pasuk says, "Vayomer Naamon Hoel." Hoel is the word indicating an oath. It means swear to me that your master sent you to receive gifts. kach kikarim, and take some of the gifts. The note on the side points out that the word ho'el is a lashon of shvua, and it was a false oath that he took. Uksiv v'tzaras namon tidbak boch. The pasuk later on says that the tzaras that Naaman was healed from will cling unto this Gehazi who swore falsely. V'al, number four, giwi arroyos, because of acts of immorality, dichti vayinaga Hashem es paro nigoyim v'chulei. Paro, who had acted in an immoral fashion with Sora in the in Sefer Bereishis, so he was afflicted with Negoyim. Negoyim, we said, is Tzaras, and that's the topic we're learning now. Number five, the Al Gasus Haruach, for haughtiness, we see Negoyim coming. Dichtiv, regarding the king Uzio, it says, Uvechezkosei gova liboy ad lahashchis vayim oil bashem elokov, because of his gova libo, his haughtiness, v'hatzoras zorcha b'mitzcho, and he was afflicted with tzoras that appeared on his forehead. V'al hagezel dichtiv. This following pasuk is in the context of nigei botim. We mentioned house affliction, where the house walls actually change color, and eventually, if it doesn't go away, the house could end up being knocked down. This appearance of negoyim is a function of theft. The pasuk says v'tziva hakohen ufinus habayis, that in coming to check out the house, the contents of the house should be taken outside, removed from the house, so that they don't get afflicted by the tzaras ruling. If you remove them before the ruling, so they are not affected by the tuma of the tzaras. Tana hu koines mamon she'eno shelo yavo hakoin v'yafazer mamono. You see a measure for measure feature here, that here's a person who took in wares that were not his. The coin comes and disperses those wares outside. Number seven, v'al tzoros ho'ayin, because of miserliness, we say that negoyim come. Dichtiv, it says regarding, again, nigei botim, afflictions regarding the house, uvo asher loy habayis v'chulei. V'tona debe Rabbi Shmuel, in looking at this pasuk, it says asher lo, and the Tanaic source from the Yeshiva Rabbi Shmuel says, mishem yuchod beisoy loy, someone who everything that he has, he holds for himself. He holds for himself is miserliness. The Gemara now starts a question. You'll notice there's a long question marking that appears to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, the kuf that's encircled with a descending vertical dashed line. The Gemara asks, Amy, is this so? We mentioned, amongst other things, we saw that Negoyim is mechaper for Lashon Hara. In this long question, Rav Anani Besosan mentions that the Big Day Kahuna, the clothing of the Kohen Gadol, serve as an atonement. And amongst the different things that are mentioned that the Big Day Kahuna atone for, we'll see Lashon Hara. And if that be the case, so then how can you say that Negoyim, as we saw above under the number one heading, that Negoyim are Mechaper for Lashon Hara, when here in this presentation, we will see that Big Day Kahuna are Mechaper for a number of things, including Lashon Hara. On the outside margin under our Nosei, we have Nosei Hemshech. Hemshech meaning a continuation. And we have written essentially what we already spoke out, but let us glance at it anyway, the note. Kushya, a question. Big Day Kahuna Mechaprim al Averoshanos. The clothing of the Kohen Gadol atone for different types of offenses. Lefi Rashi, HaGemara Makshe Mi Me'il. The Gemara will be focusing on the Me'il garment, and which the Mechaperes HaLoshen Hora. It atones, the Me'il garment atones for evil speech. Ule'el Ne'amar, the Negoyim Mechaperim HaLoshen Hora. But before we said that Negoyim atoned for that. Number two, we see here, Lefi Deos Shnia B'Toisvus, according to a second opinion found in the Toisvus commentary, under Dibur HaMaschil Ha, that is the second Toisvus on the page, HaGemara Makshem Mikama B'Godim Shemechaprim. The Gemara's question is broader than just the focus on Lashon Hara, because we see a number of clothing of the Kohen Gadol atoning for different offenses. Le'el ne'amar negoyim mechaprim kegoyin al shvichus domim gilui arayos gasas aruach benosaf al lashon hara. In addition to lashon hara, we see an overlap of kapora, or a redundancy, if you will, of kapora regarding murder, immorality, haughtiness, in addition to lashon hara. Let us now turn to the Gemara. The Gemara starts with this question, Eini, is that so? The Ha, Omar Vanani Bar Sosim, we see, is that so? Is it so that Negoyim is the means of atonement? Rav Anani teaches, Loman Ismucha Parshas Big Dekuna Le Parshas Korbonas. Why in the Torah is the section dealing with the clothing of the Kohen Gadol taught or written next to the Parsha that deals with sacrifices? Lomar Loch to tell us, Ma Korbonus Mechaprim, just like sacrifices atone, Af Big De Kehuna Mechaprim, so too the high priest's garments atone. And now a list. You'll see we've underlined each one of the garments, and numbering will be used in parentheses. The numbers that will appear in parentheses will be numbers that tie in to the points mentioned above. So very shortly on this line you see a 2 in parentheses. If you glance above and notice a number 2, you'll see it was next to Shvichus Dom and murder. Here, the Ksones, let's continue now in the Gemara, Ksones and not Negoyim Mechaperes al Shvichus Domim. Comment here, Velo Negoyim, has significance in light of that second commentary, the second opinion mentioned in the Tosfos commentary that had asked, that claims the Gemara's question is from a number of different clothing, articles of clothing. As opposed to Rashi, the whole question is focused only on one article of clothing, and the overlap concerning Lashon Hara, and that being in the case of the me'il, an outer type garment worn by the Kohen Gadol. So in the meantime, we continue with the list of garments and what they atone for. The ksoines, mechaperes al shvichus domim, dichtiv, the pasuk says, vayitbelu es haksoines badom. This pasuk is coming from the story involving the brothers and Yosef and his special coat or garment that was made by his father. The brothers took Yosef's coat, dipped it in some animal blood, and then brought that to their father Yankev Avinu, claiming that he had been killed. So that we see this idea of murder or death associated with a ksoines. They, of course, having reported that Yosef was killed, and this is evidence of it. So we see a connection between ksoines and death. Michnosayim, mechaprim al gilui arroyos. The michnosayim, a type of pants article of clothing, serves to atone for immorality. The role of this article of clothing is to cover that area of the anatomy that would be involved if it were to in the area of immorality. So it covers, the mechassayim covers it and serves to mechaper for ervo. Ervo referring to the realm of immorality. Mitznefes mechaperes al gasi aruach. The mitznefes is the type of hat or head covering, is an atonement for haughtiness. Kid Rabbi Chanina, based on Rabbi Chanina's teaching, Diyam Rabbi Chanina, Yovoi Dovah Shebegoiva, let there come forth something that sits on high, a hat sits on one's head, which is the highest part of a person, V'yachaper Al Maise Gova, and let it atone for something that's on high, namely haughtiness. Avneit Mechaperes Al Hirhur Halev. The avnet was a type of belt, if you will, that was wrapped around the kohen around the chest area. So this avnei is mechaperes, atones al hirale for wrongful thoughts. Ahecha deise, where it sits, namely the avnei, is placed on that part of the body over one's heart. Choshen mechaper al hadinim. The choshen is the kohen gadol breastplate. Is mechaper for misjustice. Dechtiv v'asisa choshen mishpat. The choshen is used as described as choshen with the word mishpat indicating laws and justice. Ephod mechaper l'avoda zara. The ephod garment. The ephod was a garment to which the choshen had been attached. The ephod is mechaper for idolatry. Dechtiv ein ephod utrofim. The word in this pasuk you see ephod together with trophim. Trophim are remind you of the English word trophy, but a trophy is an image, and in the terms of the scriptural reference, trophim is a reference to idols. Me'il mechaper al the me'il garment is mechaper for al loshon hara. And this little one is a means of connecting you to the sugya above, where one was associated with Lashon Hara. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yaval Dovar Shebekoil, the Me'il was a garment to which there had been attached bells at the bottom edge of the garment. A series of bells were sewn onto this garment. So it's called a garment that makes noise. So Yovel Dovar Shebekoil V'Yechaper Al Maisa Hakol. So let this sound-related garment atone for something that's sound-related, namely speech, the evil speech. Tzitz Mechaper Al Maisa Zeponim. Tzitz is the golden head plate, a band or head plate that was worn on the Kohen Gadol's forehead that had the Almighty's name on it. So this tzitz is mechaper for azeponim, is boldness in a negative sense, brashness and boldness. T'ksiv hocha v'hoya al metzach Aaron. Regarding the tzitz, it says it shall sit on his forehead. U'ksiv hosam u'metzach isha zoyna hoya loch. This pasuk of metzach isha zoyna is a reference to boldness. Anyway, we see from this last number of lines that at this point we come to the end of our question where we see we'll call it a redundancy. So the Gemara says, lo kashya, there isn't a redundancy or contradiction or overlap, not so. Ha dahanu maisov, ha delo ahanu maisov. Negoyim comes as a result of these things where ahanu maisov. If we're focusing on lashon hara, evil speech that resulted in Rashi says shiniskoitetu al yodo, that as a result of this, as a result of the evil speech, so people came to anger with one another or arguing and fighting with one another. In other words, the evil speech had results to it. Ha delo ahanu maisov. The big day kahuna is mechaper for not where there were no results. In other words, the act was done, the speech was done, and that's it. So the evil speech is a problem in and of itself, whether it bore results or not. And in the case that it did not bear any results, the big day kahuna atones. Now the Gemara explains, I ahanu maisov, osu negoyim olei. If the evil speech or any of the other things, according to the Tosfos, had some type of effect, so then negoyim atone. I lo ahanu maisov, mi'il mechaper. The Gemara asks, v'ha'omar Rav Simon, omar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Shnei Dvarim, there are two things, lo matzinu lehem bekorbonos kapora, but davar achar matzinu lehem kapora, where we don't find atonement through sacrifices, but through something else, we find they do have atonement. Shvichus domim, veloshen ha'ora. Shvichus domim be'egla arufa. We find that the realm of murder, which was also mentioned above, by the way, on our number two, we saw Negoyim addressing the issue of Shvichus Domim, and we saw Big Dei Kahuna also associated with Shvichus Domim. Here we see Egla Rufa. Egla Rufa is in the event that a murder victim is found between two cities, after a measuring is done to determine which city is closer, the closer city brings a calf to an area, an abandoned area, an uncultivated area, and its neck is broken, and that act serves as a form of atonement for the murder. And Loshen Hara, Biktores. Biktores is the incense that was offered on a daily basis in the Beis Hamikdash. Desanyo, Rabbi Chanina teaches, Lomadnu Liktores Shemechaperes. We learned that the Ktores, that the incense, offers atonement, Diftiv, Vayitain Esektores, Vayechaper Alaom. Here you see Vayechaper, we dashed underline, that it is a means of atoning. The Tana de Beir Bishmoel, Alma Ktores Mechaperes. What does Ktores atone for? Al Loshen Hara. It atones for evil speech. Evil speech said of other people. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yavo Dover Shebechashoi V'Yichapa Maisa Chashoi. The Ktores was done inside, especially when, in addition to the daily Ktores, there was the Ktores of Yom Kippur was done in the inner sanctum, truly in a Chashoi means a quiet or hidden fashion. In other words, it was a non-public ritual, and as such it's something in chashoy, mean quiet or private. So measure for measure, this private act is mechaper, atones for Lashon Hara, which generally speaking is done in a hush hush fashion in quiet. Notice the word chashoy sounds with the ches. If they use the ches and hey letters as interchanging, you would get something that you would say is hush from the word chashoy. What we see here is kashyo shvichus domim ashvichus domim. We seem to have a contradiction at this point then regarding what is the atonement for murder. We just said egla rufa atones, but earlier we said the ksones atones. Kashyo loshen hora aloshen hora. And also with regard to loshen hora, we have a contradiction. Above we said most recently said the ktoras is mechaper. And earlier we pointed out that the mi'il was mechaper. It also could be stated that above we saw the negoyim mechaper. As far as the negoyim big de kahuna redundancy, the Gemara answered that. But as far as these two elements, Eglo Ruf and Torres, what is there to be said? The Gemara answers, Shvichus Domim, Shvichus Domim, Lo Kashya. As far as the seeming overlap with regard to murder, there is no problem. Ha Diadia Man Katle, Ha Delo Yadia Man Katle. The Ksones will Mechaper for a case where you know who the murderer is. The Eglo Rufa is Mechaper where you haven't discovered who the murderer is. The Gemara asks, Diadia Man Katle Bar Katlehu. If you know who committed the murder, he's called a murderer. Bar Katlahu, he himself is guilty of being killed, so that his execution will be the atonement. You don't need the Ksones to atone for a known murderer. The Gemara answers, there are cases of known murder where the court cannot enter the picture and execute. Bemazid velo asurbe, where we know someone murdered in a premeditated fashion, but he didn't receive the appropriate or the needed warning before committing the act. If there is no warning, so Beis Din cannot function. Beis Din, the court, cannot enter the picture. We'll call it a legal technicality. But nevertheless, we have a known murderer who simply, on a technicality, cannot be executed by the court. So a murder, though, took place. So, as far as the need for atonement, we say that the sones accomplishes that. It goes without saying that as far as the murderer's own account, if you will, with heaven, he'll have to answer for that to the Ribbono Shel Olam, to the Almighty anyway. But there is a concept that the public, because a murder took place, a sin of this magnitude was done. The pasuk itself refers to the land becoming impure because of a murder. So there's on a public level, there is a spiritual need for atonement on a general level, and that's what the ksones would accomplish. Continuing in the Gemara, Loshon Hora, a Loshon Hora lo kashya, we raise the issue of the seeming redundancy between the Ktores and the Mi'il. What do we answer regarding that? So the Gemara says, Ha b'tzino, ha b'farhesya. If the Loshon Hora was spoken in a quiet, hush-hush fashion, then the Ktores atones for that. However, if it were done in a more public fashion, if Farhesia is public, then the Mi'il is Mechaper, as we mentioned that the Mi'il is something that has bells and hence makes noise. Bo Mine Rabbi Shmuel, we're at the top of Tes Zayin Omid Beis. Bo Mine Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nodov Me Rabbi Chanina, and here we have a few lines of names and different versions of names. The Amri Lo, another version is Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nodov Hasne the Rabbi Chanina Me Rabbi Chanina, that Rabbi Shmuel asked of a question of Rabbi Chanina, his father-in-law. The Amri Lo Me Rabbi Yoshua Ben Levi. Others say that the question was asked of Rabbi Yoshua Ben Levi. Now, what was the question? And you see here a double underline on the outside margin. You'll notice under our Nosei Mivneh heading, the double underline is featured, Ma Nishtana Mitzora, Biur Hanhogos Hakshuros LeMitzora. We'll be explaining different behaviors that are associated with Tzoras. One Aleph is Bodod Yeshev, that a Mitzora, when he's deemed to be a definitive Mitzora, after a couple of weeks of analysis, the Kohen then declares that it is a Tzoras Muchlat, and the Mitzora is sent out of the community, and he sits by himself, he dwells by himself. That's called Bodod Yeshev. So we'll be asking about what's the significance of that we'll call solitary living. And Beis Havuas Tziporim, part of the cleansing process for the Mitzora, when he leaves his Tzoras status, he brings, not as a sacrifice in the Beis HaMikdash, but rather two birds are brought, one of which is slaughtered, and there's a blood sprinkling. The other bird set free. This is a part of we'll call it a ritual that is done not as a sacrifice, however, but as a ritual involving the purification of the Mitzora. We'll be asking about that. The Gemara now. Ma nishtana, on the fourth line from the top, Ma nishtana mitzora, she'omra Torah. What is different or unique about the mitzora that the Torah rules, bodod yeshev michutz lemachne moishavo, that he must sit in a solitary fashion outside the community? The Gemara answers, you want to know why this solitariness? Hu hivdil bein ish l'ishto, bein ish l'reyehu. He, through his evil speech, created a distance between man and wife, or between man and his fellow man. Lefikach amar Torah bodod yeshev, because you created distance, so you now must distance yourself and sit away from others. Omar Rabbi Yehuda ben Levi, Ma nishtana mitzora she'amar Torah. What is different about the mitzora, unique about the mitzora, that the Torah has a very unique form of purification involving Yavi, that he brings shtei tziporim l'toroso, that he brings two birds for his purification? The Gemara answers, Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hu oise maise patit. He, sin through patit, has to do with speech, a chattering, if you will, the chattering in a speech form. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Osa Maisiv Patit, Lefikach Omro Torah Yavi Korban Patit. Therefore bring a korban, an offering, if you will. But again, this we're emphasizing, it's not an offering in the Beis HaMikdash. We'll call it an offering, though, that makes noise, like the chirping of a bird. So it's his chirping is atoned for through the chirping of the birds. Atoned, or we'll say atoned or cleansed through this type of offering. The next piece of Gemara deals with the issue of Lo Sisna Sachicha Bilvavecha. Let us see the Gemara in which a Tanaic source is presented. Tanu Rabbanan, Lo Sisna Sachicha Bilvavecha. The person should not bear a feeling of hate to his fellow man in his heart. Yochol Lo Yakenu, Lo Yisterenu, Velo Yikalulenu. Could it be that, as Rashi says, Yochol Lo Yakenu Al Devar Toichocha? Yakenu is to be with hitting somebody. One might think that the manifestation of hate is one that shouldn't be something overt. Namely, he shouldn't come to hit him or slap him or curse him. Maybe that's what the Pusuk is warning against. Talmud Lomar Bilovecha. Something in the heart. Sino Shebelev Hakosu Medaber. The Pusuk is warning against even a state of mind which involves a feeling of antipathy. In other words, it goes without saying that one is not allowed to hit or curse his friend, but even a feeling of hate internally is something to avoid. From where do we know that if you see negative behavior on the part of your friend, that you're obligated to chastise him? Shenemar hoicheach toichiach. Hochicha velo kibel, if he offered toichocha, this chastisement, and the subject didn't accept it. Minayin shiachso v'yuchichenu, from where do we know that you should repeat the chastising? Talmud lomar, tochiach, mikomokom. The extra expression, the double expression, indicates you got to keep doing it. Yochol afilu ponov mishtanim. Does this mean to the extent that even if it causes a changing of his faith, his color, which would be characteristic of someone who's embarrassed? Does chastising go so far as to embarrass the person? Talmud lomar lo sisa olav chet. And the same pasuk, it says that when chastising, do it in such a way that you don't commit a sin at the same time. And causing someone's embarrassment is in fact just that. Continuing in the realm of chastising, we should note, by the way, that we have on the side of our Gemara a general topic heading called a Nosei Klali that we entitled Toichocha, chastising. So here we have Rabbi Tarfon, and a couple lines later Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah addressing this issue from two different standpoints. Omar Rabbi Tarfon, Toma Ani, I would be amazed im yesh bedor hazeh, if there is in this generation shemekabel tochocha, if there are any people that know how to receive in a proper way correction or chastising. Im omar lo tol kesam mibein einacha. Here is a phrase, uses a figure of speech. If someone tells his friend to correct himself by removing a kesam, a small piece of wood, a splinter from between his eyes, a reference to something very small that he's that let's say if we use letters, A chastises B and says, Mr. B, you know, you need to correct your ways on this small matter. So B will react in turn. Omar lo, he'll say back to Mr. A, tol kora mi bein einecha, take the beam from between your eyes. And as you're telling me about the splinter between my eyes, what about the beam between your eyes? The beam representing something of a much larger nature. So that we see from here this inability of people to accept chastising without having to respond to the one speaking. Omar Reb Elozer ben Azaria, Temihani im yesh bador hazeh, it might be pointed out that Reb Elozer ben Azaria it might have been just a few years after Rabbi Tarfon, so he's referring to another generation, possibly a later generation. He says, I would be amazed, Temihani im yesh bador hazeh shiodea lehochiach, if there's someone that knows how to offer, how to properly chastise. V'omar Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, Meid ani olai shamayim v'aretz. We should point out, by the way, before going any further, the ches in the Shita Mekubetzes adds a few words over here, where Omar Rabbi Akiva, Tamiya ani im yesh bedor hazeh shemekabel tochacha. Rabbi Akiva says, similar to Rabbi Tarfon, if there's anyone that's able to absorb or to accept chastising. And interestingly, though, we have the following story concerning Rabbi Akiva himself, as told to us by Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. He says, the Omar Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, Meid ani olai shemayim v'aretz, Shaharbe pa'omim loko Akiva al yodi, that there are, on many occasions, Rabbi Akiva was stricken as a result of me. What does that mean? Shoyisi koivel olav lifnei Rabbon Gamliel. I used to complain about different acts or behavior patterns of Rabbi Akiva. I used to complain about that to Rabbon Gamliel, who was the leader of the people. The whole shekain shehoisiv bi ahava, and as a result of this, Rabbi Akiva had a sense of gratitude and affinity for me, all the more so. In other words, as a result of my comments and instruction and chastising, these things were pointed out to Rabbi Akiva, and he corrected his ways and grew as a result of that. And as a result of all of that, he felt a sense of affinity toward me for having been responsible for his improvement. L'kayem ma'ashin emar, this in fact fulfills what we see in this pasuk in Mishlei, al tocheach letz pen yisnoeka, don't chastise the fool because he'll only come to hating you. Hocheach lechochom v'yavecha, offer chastisement to a wise man and he will come to love you. And Rabbi Akiva, in fact, is the epitome of a chacham, being one of, if not the greatest of our tanoim. Certainly, one of the Gemara Menachos reveals a story that Moshe Rabbeinu was of the feeling that Rabbi Akiva should have been the one to receive the Torah and not himself. So that gives you a feeling of how great Rabbi Akiva rose. Of course, no pain, no gain, and you can see that Rabbi Akiva had to go through correction modes in order to achieve the greatness that he did. Before continuing in the Gemara, we glance at the outside margin. We have a nosei. It referred to as toichocha lishma va'anova shelo lishma eze odif. Chastising done with pure motives, and as opposed to humility, with less than pure motives, which is a better characteristic. Bo minei Rabbi Yehuda Brei de Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, Rabbi Yeshua ben Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi. So Rabbi Yehuda asks a question of his father. Toichocha lishma v'anova shelo lishma, hey minayu adifa. Chastising done with pure motive versus humility with less than a pure motive. So, hey minayu adifa, which is a better characteristic? Omar le, so Rabbi Shimon answers, v'lo modis, wouldn't you agree that the anova lishmo adifa, of all these different characteristics, the greatest would be anova, humility, that's motivated by by purity. Diyamamar anova gdoila mikulam. The Gemara points out in Maseches Avodah Zarah that of all the different characteristics, the greatest is humility. Therefore, shelo lishma nami adifa, the lo lishma version of anova, it's humility but lacking total pureness, is by definition also greater. Diyama Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, the oilom yasek olam b'torah v'mitzvos afapi shelo lishma, a person should be engaged in Torah study and fulfillment of mitzvahs, even if done through not through the purest motivation. That's called shelo lishma. Shemitoch shelo lishma bo lishma, that through doing things with a low lishma motivation, he'll come to the higher level known as lishma. So start at a lower level and you'll come to the higher level. So anova shelo lishma will lead to anova lishma, which is the highest characteristic that a person can adopt. Hechi domi toichocha lishma v'anova shelo lishma. Can give us an example. What is meant by toichocha lishma versus anova shelo lishma? The Gemara now gives us an incident. You'll see that we have to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text the word maisa written in, and circled with a vertical descending dashed line. Kiha de Rav Huna v'chiyo barav, as is illustrated in this story involving Rav Huna and chiyo barav, havo yasvi kamei de Shmuel. They were seated in front of Shmuel. Omar lei chiyo barav. Chozi mor de kometzayer li Rav Huna. Chiyo barav complains to Shmuel that Rav Huna bothers me. He hits me. That's as far as the Mitzayir, as that's what Rashi says. Shemake v'chovet osi. Literally means he hits me. I don't know if it's to be taken literally or something of a emotional type of tsar, of pain that was caused. Whatever the case is, Chiyo Barav is complaining that Rav Huna upsets him. Kovil ole Rav Huna desu lo mitzayir le. So Rav Huna accepted upon himself that he will cease this behavior. Boser denofik, after Chiyo Barav walked out, Chiyo is the son of the great Amora, known by the term, by the title Rav. So after Chiyo Barav walked out, Omar le, Rav Huna says to Shmuel, Hachi v'hachi ovid ka'ovid. If you want to know why I was behaving this way, so he spells out different behaviors that Chiyo Barav did that caused him, Rav Huna, to react that way. He was doing, Rashi says, dvorim megunim, negative things. Omar le, Shmuel says, amailo amris li ban pe, why didn't you say it in front of him? Rashi says the fact that Rav Huna waited for Chiyo Barav to walk out is an illustration of anova shelo lishma, that he didn't speak up in front of him. He waited till he left out, and he waited till he left out till he spoke up. That's called this false humility, or I should say a non-pure humility. Omar le, so Rav Huna says, if you want to know why I didn't speak up in his presence, Chos li delichsuf zare derav al yodi. I didn't want to be responsible for the embarrassment of the seed of the offspring of Rav. After all, we're talking about Chiyo Barav, so as to save himself from from being the cause of someone else's embarrassment, so he waited till the gentleman left. As we look on in the Gemara, we see a new geometric form, a house form, and as you skim down the page, you see the expression in this form, ad hechon. Ad hechon, until where, to what extent does something apply, and you'll see under our Mivneh heading, we have the house featured and the ad hechon expression in quotation marks. The topics that will follow are 1, toichocha, chastising; 2, lo yishane odo me'achsanya shelo, that a person shouldn't change his routine with regard to where he is hosted. Achsanya is a reference to an inn, or where a traveler stays. So we'll be talking about how significant it is that a person continues to be hosted in the same place every time when he travels on a particular route. So if he's used to staying by a certain inn, he should continue staying there. And finally, the question will be raised, Ad hechon tachlis yisurin? When a person suffers a yisurin, a pain or setback or trouble, what is considered the smallest type event or experience and still referred to as yisurin? So our Gemara starts, Ad hechon techocha? How far do we go with regard to chastising? Number one, Rav Omar Ad Hakoh, that one chastises up to the point that the subject will hit you. Number two, Shmuel Omar Ad Klola, until the subject would curse you. Rabbi Yochanan Omar Ad Nazifa, until he feels rage. Kitanoi, these three opinions are reflected by earlier Tanaic authorities in the following source. Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Lozer Omer Ad Hakoh, Rabbi Yeshua Omer Ad Klolo, Ben Azai Omer Ad Nezifa, until wrath. Omar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Shloshton Mikro Echod Dorshu. These three different opinions are based on the same psukim found in the Tanakh. We recommend looking at the psukim found in Shmuel Aleph Perek Chof, the Perek Chof of Shmuel Aleph, psukim Lamed through Lamed Gimel. The story that is discussed there involves Shaul HaMelech turning to his son, Yehoinosan, and asking him concerning the absence of David from the royal table. As one may know from the story of the Tanakh, that the Shaul HaMelech, King Saul, experienced a type of antipathy toward David, and a great deal of strain and anger arose on that occasion. And Shaul turns to his son, chastising him concerning the absence of David. So we say that the three opinions we saw regarding how far does Teichocha go can be learned from these psukim. The pasuk says, "Vayichar af Shaul b'Yehoinosan." The wrath of Shaul overcame him regarding his son Yehoinosan. "Vayomer lo ben nava samardus." The Yud Dalet in the Shita Mikubetzes adds from the psukim, "Ki bocher ato b'ven Yishai levoshtecho levoishes ervas imecha." As the father, King Shaul, tells his son, it seems that you are covering or protecting him, David, your friend. You've chosen him to your own embarrassment and your mother's embarrassment. Now, the Gemara continues, Uksi vayito Shaul asachanis olav lakoso, and Shaul grabbed his spear to hit his son Yehoinosan with it. Leman d'amar ad hakol d'chtiv lakoso. According to the opinion of chastising, goes up till the point that the listener would come to hit. So, because the term lakoso appears in this story, we see that is considered the extent. Uleman de Omar ad klola, dechtiv levoshtecha levoshes ervas imecha. That expression regarding your shame and your mother's shame is a reference to this idea of klola, of curse. Uleman de Omar ad nezifa, dechtiv vayichar af shol. And the wrath came over Shaul. We should look at a Rashi. It says Ad Klola She Yekalel Es Hamochiach Shere Yohinasan Hochiach Lishol Ad Shekotzav Shol. All of what was taking place here, we should have said this a little earlier, that Yohinasan was the one who was chastising, who was the speaker that caused Shol to react these ways. And we see in this, after hearing the words of Yohinasan, so Shol was overcome with rage. He came to a point that he was about to hit him, to smite him, and we see this klola, we see the curse. The Gemara continues, Ulamando Amar Nazifa, according to the opinion that one should chastise up till the point that the subject becomes full of wrath. Now, it could be assumed that that is an earlier stage. At that point, one would stop. It's an earlier stage than the subject coming to cursing or actually hitting. So according to the Manda Omar, the opinion that says that you should stop chastising at the point that wrath starts to develop, but Hoksib Hakol Uklola, does it not say that these points also, which would seem to indicate that the chastising should go further, beyond just wrath? The Gemara says, Shaini Hosam. There, in the case of Yehoinosan, if you'll ask, well, why was he going beyond the point where Shaul, who was the subject of the chastising, actually became wrathful? Why did he keep going? So he says, there, that is different. The Agav Chavivusa Yisera, the Havibay Leonis and Bedavid, Mosar Navshet Fei, because of the great affinity that Yehoinosan had toward David. So he went out further, he gave of himself further, allowing himself to be subjected to actual physical danger or cursing because he was going out on a limb for his friend. But in general, a person, when engaged in chastising, doesn't have to go beyond the point that the subject starts to become wrathful. Ad heichon lo yishane odom me'achsanya shelo. Till how far should one go in maintaining his consistency with regard to the inn in which he stays? Rav Omar Ad Hako, Ushmul Omar Ad Shiev Shilu Lo Kelov Lachorov. Up till, according to Rav, up till the point that that there's physical attack, and Shmuel says up till the point that a person's articles are thrown out. Before going further, we look at the Rashi, who says, Ad shiafshil bal habayis klei ha'achsone lachorov la'shlicho min habayis. In other words, one should continue using the same inn, even if things are uncomfortable. But up to the point that the discomfort actually results in the host throwing out your articles. The other opinion says up till the point that the host would come to hitting you. Well, this is now explained a little more by the Gemara itself. Aleph, Bahako Dide Kule Alma Lo Pligi. With regard to the traveler himself, his own being threatened, everyone agrees that if you reach a point that you are yourself threatened by the host, then change, then go stay somewhere else. Bahavshalas kelov lachorov kule amonami lo pligi. If it comes to a point that your own wares are going to be tossed out, thrown away because of a problematic host, also everyone agrees that you should change the inn. Ki pligi, the point of machlokis between Rav and Shmuel is bahako didvisu, regarding the threat to one's wife. Mar sovar kevon diladide lo mitzarele. Shmuel is of the opinion that since the innkeeper isn't threatening the individual himself, so the fact that we have we should also look at the Rashi, we have a little star there. Shmuel sovar kevon diladide eino make mai nafko le mine. Hilkoch ad havshola. Shmuel says, since the host isn't threatening the person himself, so what difference does it make to him until it reaches the point that the host would throw out his own throw out his wares? So, Mar Savar, Osi Le'etrudi. Rav holds that if it's a question of his Hakod Edvisu, his wife being affected, so if he stays there, if he continues to stay there where there's a threat to one's wife, you will still come to a situation of Le'etrudi, Rashi says, Le'iskote. Well, they'll be at odds or fighting with one another. Now, the question is, why does a person have to put up with all of this? And as we're saying, up till this point, these seem to be rather extreme situations which give license for a person to change where he's staying. So why is it that up till that point, a person should be consistent and stay at the same place? V'chol kach loma. Why does he have to put up with so much? The Omar Mar, it has been taught, Achsanoi pogeim v'nifgam. One who changes the place that he's used to staying causes pogame. He ruins, he can have an ill effect or ruin the reputation of the host. The nifgam and his own reputation can get ruined. People say, well, why aren't you staying in the same place? You can't live with others. You can't put up with other people. Rashi says, v'nifgam hu atzmo, the amrienshi people will say, kamo koshim elu. How difficult are these people? Shelo yuchu lodur yacha. They can't live together. But when you see a person changing, when it's known, of course, this Gemara is based on the assumption that it's known where you are staying. So that if it's known where you're staying, and then all of a sudden you change, it arouses ill reputation both for the host and for the visitor. Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Rav. Minayin, now we have a marking here using a diamond and a dotted underline on the outside margin under our Mivneh heading, Minayin Shelo Yeshane Odom. From where do we know that a person shouldn't change? Number one, Me'achsanya Shelo, from the place that he stays. We're looking for a source. We gave already logic to it, but now we're going to look for a precedent. And number two, Me'umonosoi Ume'umonos Avoisov. A person shouldn't change his profession or his practice from that which he is used to doing. That a person should continue in the ways of his forebears with regard to trade and profession. So our Gemara continues, Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Rav, Minayin Shelo Yeshane Odom Me'achson Shel Min HaTorah. Where in the Torah do you find a scriptural reference to this idea of staying at the same inn? So we have one source. Number one, Shinemar Ad Hamokoi Masher Hoyo Shom Ohalo Batchila. So he went to the same place that he had encamped beforehand. Number two, Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Chinen Omer Mehocha Vayelech Lemasaov. The Rashi says Lemasaov Bederech Sheyarogi Lachnos Limasa Lemasa. From the way he was used to staying in his travels from location to location, he went to the same location, the same route, and stayed at the same location. Loshino Beis Malonov. He didn't change where he would stay. My Binayu, what is the difference between these two sources? Iko Binayu Achsanoi Da Akroi. Rashi says Da Akroi, which literally is something that's by chance or a one-time event. Kagon Achsanoi Shebederech Shalon Shom B'mikre B'alma. What about going back to a place that you just happened to be there simply because the Sheshoka Lo Shom Hamo, you had to stop because darkness fell and you couldn't go any further? In other words, it was a place that you happened to stay at one time because of pressing circumstances. So the question is, do you return to such a place on a subsequent occasion? So Rashi continues and says, Lemadom Rami Ohalo, the source one that was cited that used Ohalo as the source, Lo Choshev El Achsanu Kavua. he considers only something that you stay at regularly, not a place that you happen to stay at one time because of pressing circumstances. Uma de'omar mi masa'ov, the second source would say, Choshev considers of significance afilu dakroi, even a place that you happened to stay at one time before, that if you are passing through on another occasion, to stay at that place. The Gemara continues, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Minayin shelo yishane odom me'u manuso u'me'u manus avosav. From where do we know that a person should not switch his trade or profession and that of his forebears? Shenemar, the Pasuk says, regarding the construction of the Beis HaMikdash in the time of Shlomo HaMelech, it says, Vayishlach HaMelech Shlomo, Vayikach eschirom mitzor, ben isha almona, hu, mimate naftoli, v'aviv ish tzori nechosh, tzori chorosh nechoshes. So Shlomo sought after Chiram, who was a man from the tribe of Naphtali, and it says here that his father, like this son, was an artisan, a craftsman. Uksiv, it says, ben isha mibnos don. Though his father was from Naphtali, from the tribe of Naphtali, his mother was a descendant from the tribe of Don. Uksiv Hasam, it says regarding the construction of the Beis Hamidosh, Ito es Ahliyav ben Achisamoch lemate Don. Ahliyav was also a craftsman, also from the tribe of Don. So what is being alluded to here is that Hiram was an artisan practicing the craft of his father, and he also came from on his mother's side from people that were artisans. So we see that Hiram continued in the ways by way of trade and craft of his forebears. Ad hechon tachlis yisurim. How far do we say yisurim go? Now, how far are we meaning? How small a setback can one experience and it still be considered yisurim? Rashi says, Tachlis Yisurim, Sof Midas Yisurim. Klomar Yisurim, She'ein Pchusim Mehem. What's considered the smallest discomfort and yet can be classified as Yisurim? The Gemara later on will ask, well, what difference does all of this make? And the Gemara reveals that there is value in knowing this. So right now, we're focusing on how far, to the minimum is something and still can be considered Yisurim. Number one, Amar Rav Elazar, Kol She'orgelo Beged Lilboish, V'ein Miskabel Olav. Someone who ordered a garment to be woven, and after they finished preparing the garment, it didn't fit him. That's considered a pain. Maskif Lo Rava Rava Ze'irav Itema Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni. Rava, or some say Rav Shmuel, asked on this. Well, that's a pretty big pain, so to speak. But we have said even further, gedola mizu omro, even further than this, further meaning to the side of the minimum side of things, is still considered in the category of yisurim, of trials and tribulations. Afilu, now we are using triangles a few times here, as you can see, and on the outside margin under our mivne heading, you see the triangle featured, afilu, and leharos, we're trying to show ad hechon nechshav dover ki yisurin. How far do we go in considering something still as yisurin? So he goes on to say, afilu niskavnu limzog loy bechamin u mozgu lo betzonein. Where someone had ordered to have a warm drink poured, and they poured for him something cold, or betzonein umozgu lo bechamin, the ad amres kulei hai, even something as minor of a called a switch up when it comes to a temperature level of a beverage is considered yisurim. And you say improperly prepared garment, well, that's a much bigger form of yisurim. I'm saying that yisurim extends even to something like a mix-up of a drink. Number three, Mar Brei D'Ravina Omar Afilu Nefach Lo Chaluko. Even if when one is trying to dress himself, his article of clothing became turned inside out. Number four, Rava Vitema Rav Chisla Vitema Rav Yitzchok V'Amri Lo B'Masnisa Tana. Some the other version is that it's taught in a Tanaic source. Afilu Hoishit Yado Likis Litol Shalosh V'Alu B'Yado Shtayim. Even if a person needed, let's say, 3 coins, so he put his hand into his pocket to take 3, and in grabbing the coins, he only took out 2. So getting less than what you needed in the act of trying to grab coins is also considered yisurin, is also considered a pain. And the Gemara says, Avol shtayim v'olu b'yodo shalosh lo. However, if you needed 2, and you got more, that's not considered yisurin. The leko tircho lemishdayu, because there isn't, that's not considered a trouble where a person has just to drop back into his pocket the extra one. So in this last example, getting less requires you to insert your hand deep into your pocket to get the 3rd coin. That's considered a trouble, but to simply drop back down an extra coin when you needed less, that's not considered a trouble. So now the Gemara asks the key question, b'chol kach loma. Rashi says, klomar, l'may hichusa havu yisurin. What do I have to know this issue of how to categorize something as yisurin? Well, desanyo. The Bay Rabbi Yishmael. We have the following Tanaic source from the Yeshiva Bishmael, which says, Kol she'ovru olav arboyim yom b'lo yisurin. If a person goes 40 days without experiencing something called yisurin, and we've been trying to define to what extent can something be considered yisurin, but if a person goes 40 days without experiencing anything that is called yisurin, kibel oylomo, then he has received his entire future life in this world. Rashi says, "Kiba lomo kol menuchosu leosid." All of the pleasure and rest of that one is to experience in the future. The overale chad mehana chare hu isurin. If one of these things, and it's important to see how minor the thing could be, even if one of these minor things happened in the course of the 40 days, so a person can rest assured that he still has reward waiting for him in the future. B'marovo Amri, at the top of Daf Yud Zayin, in Eretz Yisrael, they say, Pu'onus Mizdamenes Lo, a person who went 40 days without anything called Yisurim, then he should be worried that some form of punishment is waiting for him. Tanya, you notice a Tanaic source presented here at the top of Yud Zion that lasts a few lines. You see this in a frame, and it will report something that for me personally is one of the most astounding observations that you'll see in all of the Shas. Rabbi Elazar HaGadol Omer, Il Molei Bo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Im Avraham Yitzchok VeYankiv Bedin, if the Kadosh Baruch Hu would have dealt with our forefathers, the greatest of our people, but dealt with them according to the letter of the law. Bedin, meaning judging them according to the letter of the law. Ein yecholim lamod mipnei toichocha. Rashi says at the second line from the top, mipnei hatoichocha shoim ochiach bohem ma'aseim. The Almighty would have been able to point out deficiencies in their behavior. He would have been able to chastise them. Shenemar, the Gemara continues, V'ato hisyatzvu v'yishvato eschem lefonai lefnei Hashem es kol tzitos Hashem asher oso eschem v'esav oseichem. The Pasuk tells us that the Kodesh Baruch Hu says that you should realize that I have dealt in a charitable fashion with you and even with your forefathers. In other words, the ability of man to pass the test, so to speak, of living according to the letter of the law, that would be something that is beyond the capability of humankind. And as is known, the Kodesh Baruch Hu, when he created the world, he created the world with the plan, if you will, to judge it according to Midas Hadin. However, it was noticed that the world would not be able to continue following this pattern or this form of judgment, namely letter of the law, and he, Kodesh Baruch Hu, had to switch to the Midas Harachamim mode, the mode whereby the world is continues to exist because it's dealt with through the characteristic of mercy, of mercifulness. Before going further, we have a topic heading on the outside margin. Ma mashmaus hahekish bein dor ledorshov. The pasuk zed dor dorshov. What's the connection between the pasuk? In the pasuk, a link is made between a generation and its leaders. So the pasuk says zed dor dorshov mevakshe ponecha yankiv sela. Pligi ba Rabbi Yehuda Nesiyah Rabbanan. There's a argument between these two authorities. Chad omar dor lefi parnos. The generation is according to its parnos, its leader. Vechad omar parnos lefi doro. The other one says that the leader is according to its generation. Now, so far, this is a bit vague. Lamai hilchisa. With regard to what are we saying this? So we have here the use of a volcano shape, a trapezoid, in order to feature the two stages of analysis until we come to a conclusion. So the first is a long point. We have this labeled as stage one to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text with a vertical dashed line, suggesting if you think it means as follows, well, this will be dispelled until we get to point number two. So, I lema lemal yusa. Rashi says, le'inyin chasidus, namely, I mali dora mali parnas, that if a generation is mali, is righteous, so it will receive a righteous type leader. Umor savar I mali parnas mali dora. The other opinion would hold that if the leader is righteous, so his generation will be righteous. If that's what one thinks, that the point of this drushav's dor shav is to reflect that, well, we have news for you. It's just we find contradictions to that. Ha ika tzidkiyo dehava mali. We find the king tzidkiyo, who was a righteous individual, the dore lo hava mali, but his generation were not. The Ha Yehoyakim, there was a king, the Lo Hava Mali, he was not positive, the Dore Havi Mali. And yet his generation was a generation of pious individuals. The Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochoi. Rabbi Yochanan, in the name of Shimon Yochoi, tells us, Mai Dechtiv, Bracious Mamluchus Yehoyakim, Melech Yehuda, Bracious Mamluchus Sitkia, Melech Yehuda. The word Bracious is repeated in this pasuk. What is the significance of the word gracious in the context of these kings, Yehoyakim and Sidkiyo? So the Gemara explains, Bikesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you see we have this double underline with dots in it to emphasize these two illustrations. So the first is, Bikesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu lahachzir es ha'olam l'toyu v'voyu b'shvil Yehoyakim. When the Kodesh Baruch Hu noticed, he saw the ways of this king. He was an evil king, a major Russia figure, and he saw his ways. It occurred to the Kodesh Baruch Hu, maybe it's time to turn the world back to pre-creation, to Tohu Vavohu, which is the state of, we'll say, pre-creation. Bishvil Yehoyakim, because of this evil man. However, once the Kodesh Baruch Hu noticed his generation, the people under his rule, that and noticed their piety, the Kodesh Baruch Hu felt a sense of relief and maintained the world. So we see a case of an evil leader with a positive generation. Bikesh HaKodesh Baruch Hu l'achzir so'olam l'tovavo mipnei doro shil sitkyo. And a little later, this is the last of the kings before the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Tzidkio reigned at the very end of the first temple. The Kodesh Baruch Hu saw the generation, how evil they were, and the thought occurred to restore the world to the Bracious time. Bracious, the word found in this pasuk, a reference to the pre-creation. Kevon shenistakel b'tzidkiyahu nisyashvadaita. But when he noticed the king Tzidkio was a very pious individual, the Kodesh Baruch Hu felt comforted. So that's the end of this point. We raised the possibility dor dorshov that there's a correlation between piety of leader and generation, or vice versa, but we show there is no correlation. Elo le'inyan tukfa v'nichusa ko'amrinan. Let's glance at the Rabbeinu Gershom, who says le'inyan tukfa v'nichusa klomar shim hamanig kapton. If the leader is a person who has a short fuse, kach kol hakohol, likewise the people, v'cheinami imhu noach af kulon kain, and likewise if he is an easygoing individual, so to the rest of the people will be the same. So that this generation leader relationship that was reflected above has to do with the issue of not piety, but the way people behave in terms of their calmness and anger. So it might very well be, then, when you go back to the two opinions, we say once said, Dor Lefi Parnos, the generation goes according to the ruler, so that if the ruler has a short fuse, the people will behave likewise. And that's the other approach was, the Parnos Lefi Doro would be that if the generation are people of short fuses, so they'll get a leader like that also. So with that, we complete the third perek, and we also conclude our shiur for today.